Good morning, Carolinas, and welcome to Carolina Focus. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110-99.3, WBT, Mix 1079, and 92.7 610 Sports Radio, WFNZ. Also, always available as a podcast at WBT.com, along with Sharon Thorsland. I'm Ed Billick. You know, Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week. Hey, let's get started. When was the last time you went to the library? Maybe that library may be coming to you. Take it away, Sharon, right here on Carolina Focus.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us here on Carolina Focus. I'm Sharon Thorsland. Well, if you've lived in Charlotte-Mecklenburg for a while, or even if you're a new resident, you might have noticed we have a lot of wonderful library branches in Mecklenburg County. And we are very lucky to have such a wonderful resource at our disposal. But not everyone lives near one of these great library branches or can easily get to one. So the county decided to do something about that, and they are bringing the library to the community. So joining us now to tell us all about the county's new mobile library is Meryl Leonard. She is the Assistant Director of Outreach for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Library. Meryl, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. That was a great introduction.
Well, I know that this new mobile library, I think there's sort of a nickname. Is it Molly, M-O-L-I? Is that?
That is her nickname, Molly. Yes.
Okay, Molly, the new mobile library. So tell me a little bit about why this got started. What was sort of the impetus behind this new mobile library?
Well, the library's goal was to have community access, community members being able to get to a library location, for everyone to be maybe 15 minutes from a library location.
Okay.
And we don't have the physical facility to always do that. So we knew having a mobile library would allow us to have more access and visibility and connection within the community, making sure that our resources go out to some of our highest need customers.
Okay. Why is it so important to bring the library to people?
Well, the library is still a very valuable part of the community. It's more than just checking out books. The library connects people with workforce development, with literacy, with technology. And to be able to have this accessible to more members of our community is very important to the library. Our mission is to build a stronger community, improve lives, and build a stronger community. And this is all part of that mission.
Okay. Now, I remember, I'm sure a lot of people remember what we called, you know, the bookmobiles growing up, and it was always great fun to have the bookmobile come and visit school or somewhere in the community. Has Charlotte had something like this in the past? Have they had bookmobiles before?
Oh, we did. We had bookmobiles back in the 60s, I think, is our last documented bookmobile. And Molly now is a newer version of the bookmobile, where it's more than just books. If you have an opportunity, and I invite your audience to take a look at our website, and there is a 3D video of all Molly has to offer. So a little different from bookmobiles in the past. Now Molly has technology. She has Wi-Fi that she can bring into communities, as well as laptops, Chromebooks, other resources. That's a little different from that traditional bookmobile.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool. Now, how do you build a bookmobile or a Molly if it has Chromebooks and Wi-Fi and stuff? Sort of describe, what does it look like and how do you get it put together?
Well, there are several businesses that do these bookmobiles. It's the same businesses that build ambulances as well as medic. So that part is the hard part, and that's taken care of by professional companies. But what we do as a public library is try to figure out the best way to meet communities' needs. What can we put on this vehicle and take out to our community members is that's going to help them achieve academic goals, achieve professional goals or workforce development goals. So that goes into what is in the mobile library, how it's built. We have monitors on the mobile library because we are going to hold classes.
Oh, wow.
Technology classes and other classes where we can really help people. But the important part is meeting them where they are. So we also had a facility master plan done, and we did a lot of research and surveys and asked community members what they wanted and needed in libraries. And we transferred a lot of that information into the mobile library, as well as had community stakeholders share what the mobile library can do to support the people they serve in the communities, as well as community members. You know, it was very driven by the people we serve and not so much by library staff itself.
Okay. And so what kinds of responses did you get from those questionnaires and those things that when you went to the community and asked what they needed and stakeholders, what did they tell you? What did you hear?
The most, I would say highest on the list is we need a library in our community.
Okay.
And you know, we want to have access to books. Now we have other, we had other things like we want to have a garden or, you know, very, I think, creative and innovative activities too. So it went from the very basic to bring us books in our neighborhood. We need something for our children. We need something for our seniors who may not want to drive out or may not have transportation to a library. Bring us some library resources and books.
Okay. So you said that the last one was in the 60s. And then so what sort of prompted getting this going again? Was it COVID or did it come before that? Or what made somebody go, you know what, we need to get this library, mobile library out there again?
This actually came before COVID. And I believe this was an aspiration of myself as an outreach director, assistant director, as well as all other members of the library saying, how can we give more access to our community members?
Okay. Okay. So then how long has it been up and running? It just kicked off earlier this year, right?
Oh, Molly is very new. We're not even 2 months in yet with our routes. Molly was delivered to us in November. Okay. And we started running our routes on January 19th. And as luck would have it, the next day we were supposed to start, we had our snowstorm.
Oh.
So that pushed us back a day or two. We've got to be safe than sorry.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, he's
so now where does the library go? How did you determine what neighborhoods it goes to?
There were a lot of factors that went into the neighborhoods that we would choose, that we chose. And one of the top factors is, does this community have access to a public library? Okay. Is there a bus line that will connect them to the public library? What are some of the schools that have challenges with high performance? Can we bring this resource into the community? Who can we collaborate with who's already serving a high need community? So we ask those questions, and it's also on our website again, those frequently asked questions about, you know, who and why does Molly serve?
Okay. Okay. And so when it goes to a certain location, does it stay there all day? Is it there for a few hours? How does that work?
Once again, in order to provide adequate access, we stay someplace between 90 minutes, possibly 2 hours. Okay. It's according to where we're stopping and who we are serving. If customers need a little more time, if they're moving a little bit slower, you know, then the stop may be a little bit longer. Sometimes when we attend a community event, and this past Saturday we were at the name. It was a 5-point ribbon cutting event.
Okay.
And we were at that event and we stayed there a little bit longer because it was a day long event.
Okay. Okay. And then how often do you go back to the same place? Is this something that happens once a month? Is it every couple of months? Or how do you determine how often you go to that same location?
Right now we have an every 3-week rotation.
Oh, okay.
But we're learning a lot. And sometimes we'll just have a one-time special stop. But the majority, I would say, most of the stops are every 3 weeks.
Okay. Okay. We're speaking with Meryl Leonard. She is the Assistant Director of Outreach for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Libraries, telling us all about Molly, which is the nickname for their new mobile library. Well, Meryl, you were mentioning that it's not just books, but I mean, obviously, I'm sure that that's sort of the heart and soul of the library, the actual books that you can pick up and read. How many books do you have on board, Molly?
Molly can hold up to 2,400 physical material, including books and audiobooks, magazines, and CDs.
Okay. Okay. So a whole lot. And you said they have Chromebooks. I mean, so are people, just like when you go to the regular, you know, the regular stick-built library, you can go in and use the Chromebooks. Is it the same situation where you can just go in and access the internet and use a Chromebook there on Molly as well?
Absolutely. And as I mentioned before, your introduction was so good and you've got such a great grasp on this. You explained it so well. We do want our customers to have the same experience on Molly or a very similar experience that they would have in one of our physical locations.
Okay. So it's pretty much literally taking the library to the people.
Okay. Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What kind of reaction and response have you gotten from the people in the community when you go there and park Molly and people get on board? Is it mostly children that come or is it adults now that are coming or what's the response been like?
We have everyone coming aboard. And I'll give you an example of a response. One of the customers that came on the mobile library was actually on the phone with her sister. And she said, I see that bus that I saw on TV with the books on it. I've got to go. And so she left her sister on the phone and came to visit the mobile library. We've had customers who come on and they have such a good experience. They're surprised about the current and the material they can get. And they go out and they bring in more family members or more friends to come in and check out books on the mobile library.
Wow. That is just awesome. So obviously by doing this, and you're saying it's not just for children, it's for the adults too, and to be able to use the Chromebooks and stuff. Clearly making it a lot easier for people to access everything that the library has to offer.
Yes. And as I said, this is the beginning stages and we can see how it's helping with access and availability, bringing the resource to the community. And I'm quite sure we're going to get more response and more opportunities to do this as well.
This is wonderful. So now, is there a schedule published where if people want to find out more information about how to get on Molly and figure out where it's going, do you have that information somewhere for them?
Absolutely. Please go to Charlotte Mecklenburg Library's website and look up mobile library. You'll find our schedule as well as pictures and videos of the mobile library. And there's also frequently asked questions that really helps people understand who we're serving and why we're serving. And there's also a link on there where you can request Molly to come to your community.
Really? Yes. Okay. So people can go on and say, we'd like to have them come stop in our neighborhood and you'll try to coordinate that?
Again, I love your wording. Yes, we will try our very best to coordinate it. Because Molly is new, you can imagine she's in high demand right now. But we are trying to get to as many communities as we can.
Are there plans down the road, maybe one day, to have more than one Molly out there so you can hit multiple locations at once?
I hope someone is listening to you say that. That would be a dream to be able to have a fleet. And this would just be another way to deliver library services. And as our community changes and grows, we're trying to find the best ways to serve the community, be it with mobile services, collaborating with existing agencies, or more physical buildings.
Wow. What a great idea. I know that, like I said, from my experience in the past, when I was younger, I loved the bookmobile coming, and I'm sure that people are having that same reaction and that same response. Oh, look, there goes Molly. I'm sure that this is going to be just a great success, and I think it's awesome that you guys have started this again. I really do.
Thank you very much. And we do feel like rock stars when we pull in a neighborhood with Molly.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we have been speaking, everyone, with Meryl Leonard. She is the Assistant Director of Outreach for Charlotte Mecklenburg Libraries, telling us all about Molly, which is the nickname for their new mobile library, which is servicing all sorts of communities here in our Charlotte area. So, and if you would like more information about it, like Meryl said, you can go to the Charlotte Mecklenburg Libraries website and get information about the schedule and also see about possibly getting Molly to come and visit your neighborhood. Everybody stay with us. We've got a lot more coming up here on Carolina Focus.
Okay, from libraries and books and reading to music and music festivals. Let's talk the Queen City Jam Session coming up this August.
Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to Carolina Focus. Today, we're going to switch over to the music scene here in Charlotte and an exciting event that is planned for later on this summer. With us this morning is Ebony Moorman. Also with us is from Music Max. He's the founder, Greg McGraw, and Director of Strategic Development for Noda Brewing. I didn't know there was such a thing. Jacob Virgil, and we're all familiar with Noda Brewing. But let's get started. Ebony, you came across this story this week. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll introduce our two guests.
Yeah, so hi, I am Ebony Moorman. I am a Charlotte-based freelance writer, write for a number of publications here in the Queen City. I came across this article. One of my editors forwarded me the press release. One of my editors over at Charlotte 5 forwarded me the press release. And I was like, oh, wow, like this is huge, right? And so she's like, do you have time to explore this? I'm like, of course I do. And so I went ahead and I immediately reached out to both Jacob and Greg, who we have on the phone with us today. And we had a few back and forths about what, after I read in the press release, we had a few back and forths about what this event actually was and how huge it's going to be to the QC. And so we talked candidly about the QC jam session, and I'm just excited for what this means to Charlotte. And I'm excited for the revival. And this is kind of like, you know, after the pandemic, this is kind of like one of the greatest excited things we have going on. So let's speak to them and hear more about what they have to say.
Yeah, what we're doing here, guys, right? We're announcing the Queen City Jam Session. Jacob or Greg, who'd like to go first?
Go ahead, Jacob.
All right, thanks. Well, let me first introduce myself. So like I said, my name is Jacob Virgil, Director of Strategic Development with the brewery. I also didn't know that was a thing, Ed. it's a newer role. So I'm relatively new to the brewery. I just joined this past October. But I've also been with the brewery since day one. Nota Brewing's a small family-owned brewery here in the Queen City, and I'm a part of that family. So
let's start. Nota's been around Nota Brewery for how many years?
For 10. So we just celebrated 10 years this past October.
And some of your brands, I know I'm familiar, but maybe our listeners aren't. Rattle off some of the brands.
Yeah. So Hop Drop and Roll, it's our flagship beer. It's our crown jewel IPA. Jam Session, which is partly the namesake for this music festival, is another one of our flagships. Hops of Days Ago is a new one released into the market this year. We're really excited about that. Easy drinking IPA. And then if you like something a little bit darker, Coco Loco is fantastic as well. But what's nice with us is those couple that I named are available all year round, but we're putting out beer, just about a new beer every month or so. And if you come to the tap room, it's even more often than that. So you can always get something no matter what you like. And we really pride ourselves on that.
So this whole idea of a Queen City jam session, take us there, or maybe yeah, Greg, well, you'd want to take us where? I mean, you guys hooked up and got this thing rolling or what?
Sure. I'll take that one. I'll do a quick introduction as well. So Greg McCraw, I'm the founder and owner of Max Music, which is the largest independent concert promotions company, certainly in Charlotte and I believe in North Carolina. I don't know that there are any good statistics to prove that, but I'm pretty sure. My company started 26 years ago as a hobby, honestly, as a hobby, a passion for music. You can see the guitars on the wall behind me. I found myself on the business side because I'm not the best musician in the world. Started promoting concerts because I was tired of going to other cities to hear the bands that I wanted to hear that weren't coming to Charlotte. Yeah. So I found myself promoting. I was doing a series at the Double Door at the time. And then that grew. It grew to pre-pandemic. We were doing 500 shows each year.
Really?
I see your eyes. It's a lot of shows. I have a good team. It's not just me. But doing 500 shows a year throughout the Carolinas, Charlotte, Asheville, Raleigh, Greensboro. And over the course of that time, we had done, especially the last few years before the pandemic, we had done single day events at Nota Brewing. So we recognized that Nota shared a passion for music. As I've said before, just the name Jam Session for one of their brews indicates their passion for music. So we did some one-off events and we've had some meetings, and there was, during all that time, it was a very good partnership between the two companies. So we decided to carry on. The reason that I got in the music business, there really hasn't been a live music festival within the city limits of Charlotte in quite some time. So instead of all of us having to go to other cities for festivals this year, we decided to bring one to Charlotte.
Yeah, and to just piggyback off that too, we were chatting, we felt the exact same way. Charlotte has grown so much. It just feels like it's missing something like this. So we are very excited to fill that void and looking forward to growing this year after year. This is not going to be a flash in the pan. And this year, while we're very excited about it, we hope that this year is the smallest that it will be, and it only grows from here.
This is a tremendous, and let's get into quickly some of the details of what's being planned. Of course, our folks here in Carolina Focus can appreciate that in August, right?
August 19th through the 21st. It'll be at our location here at Nona Brewing. So we have two locations, one in North Davidson, one on North Tryon. That's probably what people think of as our main location, the one on North Tryon. And that's where the event will be. There's a space just tucked behind the brewery that most people probably don't know exists, but it's a roughly 2-acre parcel that has been graded and is going to be perfect for the festival. So it's right next door to the main tap room patio. So people will be able to flow in and out. We're excited because with the size of that space, we're able to bring in some exciting names that Greg can tell you more about. Mm-hmm. I think we can hold a couple thousand people too, and still have it be a comfortable environment for everybody and just a really fun.
So it's a 3-day. I don't have my calendar. Is that a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it'll kick off Friday afternoon, I'm guessing, or when?
Yeah, exactly. Starts Friday afternoon. We're still getting our exact schedule together, but kick off Friday afternoon and end Sunday evening.
And it'll run till what time each night?
11 p.m. Friday and Saturday night, somewhere in the neighborhood of 9:30 to 10 on Sunday, to let people get home a little bit earlier.
And I know a lot of our listeners are probably of my age, but this sounds a little like Woodstock in a way. I mean, as long as it doesn't rain and get muddy there, but this is fantastic. All right, the music lineup so far, what's it look like? I'm sure it's still evolving.
It is still evolving, but we have some exciting names to already talk about. So closing the festival Sunday night, we'll start there and talk about some other bands. But closing the festival is Green Sky Bluegrass. They're a very popular band, especially in the festival scene. And actually, my relationship with them dates back to booking the Double Door I can't tell you how many years ago. So they have gone from playing the Double Door in Charlotte to headlining a music festival. Mm-hmm. We also have Infamous String Dusters, who have played at Neighborhood Theater, sold out Neighborhood Theater multiple times, played at the Underground, again, sort of a mainstay of the music festival scene during the summer. We have Spafford. They have also played and sold out Neighborhood Theater. Victor Wooten, who's one of the best bass players in maybe the world, not just in the United States. O'Teal and Friends, which will be a lot of heavy hitters. Who else am I forgetting, Jacob? Rebirth Band out of New Orleans.
Yep, and then I believe we have a couple still exciting names, but slightly smaller on the books as well. So Delvin Lamar, Seinka, and then I believe that's it for now. But like Greg mentioned, the schedule is very much being built out. We plan to have about 20 different artists throughout the weekend.
That is absolutely outstanding. Starts Friday afternoon, roughly what time?
5:30
goes to 11. Starts Saturday
afternoon.
Okay.
At 3.
About 3 and then to 11, then Sunday wraps us up.
Probably 9:30 to...
Oh, it's going to run into the evening on Sunday as well.
Yeah.
Families, individuals, dogs, cats, whatever. I know, a lot of dogs at the brewery, right, Ebony?
Yeah, so we are very dog-friendly at the brewery. Unfortunately for this event, just given the amount of people, we worry about allowing dogs. So dogs will not be allowed, nor will cats, though we don't get too many cats at the brewery. However, this is a very family friendly event. That's one thing that we love about the brewery is people bring their children young and old, and we want the same thing to be true for the festival. I personally grew up going to music festivals like this. The music festival that Greg referenced, not by name, but the previous festival that was in Charlotte proper years past, I grew up going to that. I have fond memories of that, and we want to do the same thing for families with this festival. So children under the age of 7 can get in for free. above that. They just have to purchase a regular ticket, but hopefully mom and dad will do that for them.
You know, the excitement on this thing, Ebony, I think can really build. I mean, here we're talking about it on Carolina Focus on this Sunday morning. Hey, with us, by the way, is Max Music founder Greg McGraw and the director of strategic development for Noda Brewing. It's a job I wish I would have had one time. Jacob Virgil. We're talking about this Queen City Jam session. The capacity, I mean, I'm thinking this thing could sell out. I mean, you're going to, will tickets be limited or how do you get tickets right now?
Yes, on queencityjamsession.com or maxmusic.com, you can find the ticket link. And I think on the Noda Brewing site as well, there's probably a link to the tickets. You can find it on Facebook. But tickets are available. VIP 3-day passes are available, as well as general admission 3-day passes. And once we get the entire lineup solidified, we will put 1-day passes on sale.
Absolutely beautiful. And I know where we'll be getting the adult beverages. I'm thinking from an operation standpoint there, Jacob, you guys are going to ramp up production. I mean, hey, let's go back to how many people are you expecting?
So we are hoping to have at bare minimum 3,000 a day, but have the capacity to go beyond that and would love if that's the case.
So you're ramping up production. Where will folks be able to get food?
So from a beer perspective, we'll actually be good from production. We service the entire capacity of the Carolinas. So we'll be good there. We will certainly be ramping up from a staffing perspective that day to take care of that, make sure everybody has a positive experience. Food will be provided on site through a variety of different vendors, whether those be food trucks that we normally can get at the brewery or different catering services. So there will be plenty of food and drink, both alcoholic and non-alcoholic. So regardless of what someone's preferences are, they should be able to come and have a fantastic time.
Now, I know from going out to the track once in a while, there's people that camp out overnight. There's not going to be overnight camping for this, is there?
There will not be. If people want to camp off of North Tryon Street, they can certainly try, but we will not be encouraging nor allowing camping on the property itself.
This sounds very exciting, Ebony. I want to thank you for bringing it to our attention. All right, if folks are just joining us here on Carolina Focus, guys, let's recap what we shared and the excitement building around us. It's called the Queen City Jam Session coming up this August.
That's right. So we have a 3-day music festival from August 19th to the 21st. Max Music and Noda Brewing are putting this on. We're going to have some pretty exciting names. Anyone from Green Sky Bluegrass, Oteil and Friends, the infamous String Dusters, to about 17, 18 more names there. So we're really excited for this to happen. The festival itself will be at Noda Brewing Company on North Tryon Street. And we are very excited. Tickets are on sale now. You can get both VIP and general admission tickets on queencityjamsession.com.
And this is not just a bunch of guys hanging out together. I mean, Greg, you were sharing that Max Music conducts how many of these music venues or festivals throughout the year? I mean, we're talking big time now.
This is our first major festival, but we, pre-pandemic, were presenting around 500 shows a year in the Carolinas. So we've been doing this a long time. This is one of the most exciting things we've been involved with in quite some time, being able to put on a music festival inside the city limits of Charlotte that should be accessible to everyone. We will include local artists as well. It's literally a short walk from a light rail stop to get to the site of the concert. So it should be musically and physically accessible to everyone in the city and outside the city.
I think this is just outstanding and it's tremendous and, you know, good weather. Yeah, it'll be warm, but there'll be some beverages. There'll be food trucks, it sounds like. Just a good time. Those, I mean, just when you bring people together at a brewery like Noda. Ebony, final comments. I mean, thank you for sharing this with us. Where can we find your article that summarized what we're talking about?
It's just charlotte5.com.
charlotte5.com. Let's go around the table. One last words, Greg from Max Music, your final thoughts for us on Carolina Focus.
Oh, I'm just excited. I'm excited to reveal the rest of the artists that are playing. I think I think everyone's going to find something that they like.
Jacob over at Noda.
Yeah, I would echo Greg as well. I'm very excited about this. During the pandemic, live music, especially at a scale like this, is what I miss most. So excited to bring that back to the Queen City.
Ebony, final words from you.
Yeah, I'm just excited. This will be my first time since moving to Charlotte that I've seen anything of this caliber. And naturally, I'm an artist by heart, a creative by heart. So I'm excited about what this is going to mean to the city.
You know what I'd like to be able to do late July, maybe first week in August. Let's reconnect, get an update. I'm sure you'll have your final lineup already locked in. And we could give one little more exciting push, but advertisement for folks for the Queen City Jam Session. I want to thank the three of you this morning for talking with us here on Carolina Focus. Best wishes and look forward to catching up with you here in a few months.
Thank you very much.
Okay, stay tuned. Right after the break, more to come from Carolina Focus.